Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday, we're so glad to have you. And as the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to let you know that you can now hear Live Deliverance broadcasts on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio.com live deliverance, or you can hear us on our Apple on our podcast .apple.com/US, or you can hear us through the FM series. Go to player.fm series live deliverance. And because the Lord is releasing his glory all over the world, we would like for you to ask some of your friends and family members, co-workers, to come and listen to the ministry and be blessed. Don't forget that this ministry will be available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast. Just go to the website, look for livedeliverance.com, and look for Pastor Steve Lee and the date of the broadcast, and you can get that. Please go ahead and get a pen and some paper so that if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. Please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, having said all that, if you would, go ahead and join me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living bread, the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we have the title here of a faithful word, an active word, and a confirmed word. And, you know, having celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ yesterday, I began to hear some conversations of victory that God has given us by his word. So one of the things I'd like for you to do is we're going to have three places of scripture that we want to look at. And basically, it's going to be the whole chapter of Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. Because all of the recorded events were given to us by the Spirit of God as each one of those believers would release the truth that they had saw and that they had agreed with in their heart. But please know that if you don't agree with the word in your heart, then that word cannot produce what God wants to have happen in your life. That's why he speaks spirit to spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. See? So we're going to look at these three accounts. And one thing I want you to know, some people might think that that's the word of God contradicting itself. No, that's the word of God. Jesus said, let every word be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So just so that we get it and understand, what I see and what you see at the same exact time might be different understandings of what was done. You've all probably done the game where you get in a line, in a circle, I'm sorry, and then you whisper into the ear of the person next to you and tell them to whisper into the ear of the person next to them. And by the time it gets to the 15th or 20th person, it's completely different than what it was from the first person that heard it. See? It's not that the Bible is contradicting itself. It's better understanding would be he's expanding the truth that you know. Okay, I'll say that again. He's not contradicting himself. He is expanding the truth. Okay? We're going to see some things in these scriptures that God wants to allow your heart to grow, to begin to know him from that perspective also. I'm not asking you to change what you know, beloved. I'm asking you to increase in learning. Increase. Because I'm just one that's planting, someone else a water, but it's God that gives the increase. Let's live in that increase. Let's live in that abundance. That's where he wants us. Okay? So let's look at Mark chapter 16. It says, and when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him. And early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with long white raiment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Now go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. Now I just want to look at some things here. They were three women that were going to the sepulcher. And they had conversations in their own heart, because three women are not going to move that stone that was in front of it, that it was very great. So they were thinking and said, how are we going to get in? Problem number one, if you would. She said, who shall roll away the stone for us from the door of the sepulchre? So I see something here that just want to kind of bring out, that they were three different people that knew they were going to have the same problem, and that they didn't have an answer for that problem between the three of them. Okay? I just want you to know that, because some of the things that happen in our life are happening to other people. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common as man, common to man, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. In other words, whatever you're facing, God has given the answer, a faithful word. Okay? And when they entered, when they went there, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away. Some of the things that we are troubled by, God has already given the answer. So what we should do, as they did, they continued doing what they understood to do. They didn't stop. They just proceeded. And then they saw a young man that was sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment. And they were afraid. I don't know, y'all. Help me out. They were going to a place where dead people hang out. And if you see something unique in the place where dead people hang out, you might be, you know, a little bit scared. I can get that. I can understand that. And he said to them, don't be afraid. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. This is where they laid him. Now, since you've seen that, go your way, tell his disciples, and tell Peter. I thought that was interesting, that he singled out Peter. Tell the 12, but make sure you tell Peter. And then he said, that he is now going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said unto you. So we want to talk about a faithful word, then an active word. So was the word that Jesus told them that he would be, and we're going to talk about, you'll see it clearly, I think, in Luke, as he says this, because what we do when the pressure comes, or when the situation turns to something we don't like, we might forget what he said to us. You know, one of the things that Mary knew and she understood, she told them, when his first miracle was about to take place, she told him that those people that were hanging around wondering what he was going to do. She told him, she said, whatever he tell you, do that. See, pay attention to the word spoken. She had noticed in her life that things that Jesus said, they worked out exactly like he said. You know, you hang around somebody, you begin to then have confidence in what they say. That worked on the good or the bad. Told them things that he was going to be crucified, suffer, and then he was going to be raised from the dead. But when we see the suffering, when we see the problem, we might forget the prophecy. Just a place for you to make a note in your heart. Am I still holding on to what he said, even when I don't see it being possibly able to be completed or fulfilled? He said it. One of the things that the prophet Samuel had in his ministry is that it said about him, God did not let a single word that he spoke fall to the ground. Now, if that was understood about Samuel, surely about Jesus, we should know that if he said it, it's going to happen. We can bank on that. Okay. He said, he told you before that, notice what Jesus did for them. He is now going before them to meet them in the place where he told them. They had a problem, but there was a faithful word that had already been spoken. And the word that was spoken was that I'm the I am that I am. I'm the one that causes life to happen. All of the times that he did miracles in their midst, okay, those miracles spoke of the faithfulness of God. Okay? I want you to kind of think about that. The miracles give witness, if you will, to the God of our salvation. That's what a miracle does. It's an interruption of the cycle of things because of a request to a sovereign. See? God is the sovereign. He is the Almighty. And when we connect with him in belief that we have prayed and he heard and he answered, then we know that we have the thing that we desire. Okay? Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be given you. He told his disciples and the crowds that were with him, he told them these things so that when they are faced with any trouble, then please go back and hear what he told you. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. He says when he has come, he is going to bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said. So then when you're facing anything, don't just start spewing out words of things that you want to have happen. Go to the scripture and find out what did he say to you. Again, God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. Okay? The answer comes before the problem. Every time, all the time. Okay? As we understand that, believe that, walk in that, then we have steps that are preordained for our victory. God says he will have no other gods before him. Okay? That's Old Testament, beloved. So that means that the challenge cannot ever possibly be in front of God. Jesus told us that the thief only comes to steal, kill, destroy. I like to make sure that you get the understanding from that, that the devil is not bringing trouble. He's only trying to steal a word that's already resident in your spirit. Just because it's resident in your spirit does not mean that you adhere to what your spirit already knows. Over 700 times, Jesus had to tell his disciples, fear not. That's two times a day, every day of the year, you already got a fear not that you can use. But we still need to hear fear not. When we're going through something, we say crazy things like, this is going to be it. This is the end of it. I can't do no more. When he told you that he's going to be with you to the end of the world, the end of the age. If you're not at the end of the age, then know that, A, he's still with you. And the God that's with you, the God that's in you, is more than the devil that's attacking you. Every time, all the time. Okay? That's just something that we need to know. He sent his word to heal you. Excuse me. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all. A-L-L. See? You know, it would be good for us to understand where we are. Do you ever think that you have expended all? Do you ever think that? Because if God spoke it, let me help you out. When God spoke it, that is the all. Amen. Okay? So the devil is trying to steal the all that you have. How is God going to supply your needs? By his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See? And when if my words abide in you and you abide in my words, then you can ask what you will and it shall be given you. See? When I'm abiding in all, please, this is good. I just heard this. When I'm abiding in all, I don't have to worry about anything. That's one of them good ones. Y'all can write that one down. That was good. When I abide in all, I don't have to worry about anything because all covers everything. Amen. See? What happened in this situation and in our lives is we kind of think for some reason that we don't have enough supply for whatever that is in front of us. See? And the devil's lying. He's been lying from the beginning. Jesus said he's the father of lies. So then you can know that if the devil is moving his mouth, if he's whispering in your ear, he's speaking a lie. See? The truth is not in him. So then we need to posture our heart in the place of believing what God has said, coming to the place where we want to understand what he said. See? A faithful word. See? Every word that God has ever spoken is a faithful word. His word is forever settled in the heaven. That would mean that his word has to be faithful. God abides in the place of faithful. He abideth. He lives there. So then we take the word, every time you go to the word, which is a faithful word, now the second part, it has to be an active word. The young man told them, there's something that stops the word that you already got from operating, and that is fear. Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen and is not here. Behold, this is the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he's doing what he told you. He goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. The word shall is an absolute imperative. I mean, look at what promise we have. The shall takes care of all of the conditions that we can think of. The shall that he just released takes care of if they're trying to kill him and cause us not to be able to believe in him. The shall took care of that. Do you see? Because they're in the place of his promise. You shall see him because he's already said that unto you. See? I appreciate coming to revelations, but the better life that I need to live is the life of his faithfulness unto me. He's already said what's going to happen in my life. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He's already said that in my life. And every tongue that should rise up against me shall be condemned. This is my heritage, and my righteousness is of God. I'm not even trying to deal with my righteousness. I'm living by his righteousness. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My God, my God. I've been made that. You know, I'm just hearing that. He said that I've been made that. So then since I've been made that, I can't mess it up, can I? He didn't say you will make yourself. He says, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your messed up hands can't mess it up. Did you get that? I mean, we serve a God that loves us that much, that he took the possibilities of failure out of our hands. He gave us a faithful word that needs to be active in our heart, because out of our hearts comes the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4 says, please guard your heart with all diligence, because that's where all of the stuff you're going to need is going to come from. And if you are not guarding your heart, then that would mean that you're trying to live your life from a place that's not protected. All right. If I'm trying to live my life from a place that's not protected, then I'm going to live my life subject to all of the things that could possibly come to me. Is that correct? See? He wants you to live a life that is protected, that is guaranteed. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who are righteous run into it, and they are safe. See? I mean, just hearing that. He said, wow, Lord. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Okay? He did not just say, the presence of the Lord, he said the name of the Lord, which would include his presence. I get that. I understand that. But I'm trying to get you to see that he has placed your salvation in a name. There is no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. They must be delivered. See? Trying to get you to see your victory is as close to you as the breath that comes out of your mouth. The name of Jesus. Come on. When you simply speak the name, you are in the place of victory. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I mean, the way I understand, every name is congruent with a word. Is that correct? That's how you can speak the name, is because you can understand or read the word. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous ones run into that name, and they're safe. Okay? Jesus has lived a life before us that gives us the ability to trust in the name that gives us access to our victory. I'm just trying to, you know, put it back out there. See, this is what I was thinking about, you know, since yesterday was Resurrection Day. And again, Paul prayed that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. I need to understand what that meant. When he got up out the grave, every circumstance, situation, challenge in my life was already answered. Okay? I need to know him in the power of that resurrection. What was he doing when he did that? I appreciate him removing my sins. I appreciate that. Wait a minute. Let's try that. There were people that had their sins removed while Jesus was walking on the face of the earth. You don't remember him telling the one that couldn't walk? He says, "Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk." Wait a minute. Whoa. This is before Calvary. I appreciate my sins being forgiven. But there was much more involved in this transaction than just my sins being forgiven. Because I want to know him and the power of the resurrection. That's an active word. Glory to God. Okay? The ones that Jesus said that your sins are forgiven, they still had to be born again and blood bought, didn't they? Amen. See, I need to understand, because I run into the name, I get to see more than just what's at the door of salvation. See, it says that the righteous run in, glory to God. They don't just hang out at the porch. Because everything that's inside the house belongs to you. Once you get to the porch, you can then understand I'm in the place of safety. But unless you go into the house, then the things that he has already preordained to you will not be perceived or understood by you. Yeah, I appreciate living on the cusp of revelation, on the cusp of salvation. But we need to be knee-deep in it. Amen. The righteous run in, and they are safe. Okay? So he's giving us a faithful word. A word that came from the lips of a God that cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? I understand what the promise makes available for me. God speaks to and answers all. Okay? I'm not going to be a little bit saved. I'm not going to have a little freedom. I'm going to be ever so with. Made whole. See, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to participate in. See, what they were doing, Mary and those three, what they were doing basically is they were going to protect their past with unfruitful exercises in unbelief. Because Jesus told them, I'm going to be persecuted, suffer at the hands of the Jews, and I'm going to die, and on the third day. He had already told them this. See? But they are not listening to what he said. They're listening to the surroundings. The young man that was sitting there told them that he's risen. He's not here. See? He basically showed them the place of their faith and the open door. Wow. That's why the stone had to be removed from the door of the sepulcher, because it could not hold the promises that God has given to us, the access that God has given to us. The blockage has already been moved. And the angel said, look, this is where he was, but he's gone because your future, he's opening up for you. He said, he's going to do what? Go before you into the places where you're going to walk, into the places where you're going to live. You know, it's interesting that Jesus did most of his miracles in the marketplace or in the place where we live. Why do you think that was? So that he can give us the understanding of, I'm concerned about what happens to you in the place where you live, not just in the place where you worship. Because most of his miracles happen in the marketplace, where people gather, work, and live. Not just the place, it's particularly in his day, because there was none righteous, no, not one. So they were trying to live by self-righteousness in that day, things that they had to do. It was so much show in it that they would have exercises that they would do just before a Passover. And they would go in, they would clean the house. And then the husband would pick up one piece of dirt that the wife would leave in a specific place, and he would carry it outside. And he would say, there is no dirt, no filth in my house. All of the dirt has been removed. See? And we all knew good and well that, some of the people that practiced that thing were people that had dirt in their closets real big. It was so bad that in one worship service, they were having sexual intercourse. They used to have church prostitutes. House of God, church prostitutes. And these were the same men. That's why when Jesus, they had brought the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. They brought her to him, didn't bring the man. And Jesus looking down at the ground, right on the ground. And he said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. I know you went through the exercises of cleaning your house out and saying, my house is clean. So then you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says they all left, from the oldest to the youngest. Why did they leave? Because they did not have that exact way of saying, my house is without sin. So they were practicing stuff that they could not fulfill, and they knew it. We have guaranteed words. that have been spoken about our future, into our future, for our lives. That he's not here. He goes before you. And there you shall see him as he said unto you. So they were just practicing unfruitful exercises. They went there to cry and to bemoan the thing and to put spices on him. Now, wait a minute. Let me help you out. Do you think that the man that was dead could appreciate any of those spices in his natural body? See, that was just a unfruitful exercise. And they, of unbelief, thinking that, okay, I can do what, come on now, I can do more with my actions than Jesus can do with his actions, because Jesus is dead. They were expecting, come on now, they were expecting to see a dead man. The angel had to say, he's not here. In the book of Luke, it says, why do you seek the living among the dead? I guess that's one of these reasons I want you to read all three. Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20. And you'll hear things that you didn't see in the other account. See? And it helps you to position your heart in the position so that you can win 100% of the time. Because I'm not going in there seeking the living among the dead, trying to get a dead promise to work for me. Amen. See, it has to be a faithful word and an active word. They were going there with that word that was really just unfruitful exercise. Somebody said amongst them three, you know, we should go do this. They didn't even have a way to get it done, but they thought it was a good idea because they knew they couldn't move stone. See, God had already given them a faithful word. When they came, then he gave them a fresh word. God here. He's going before you unto Galilee, and there you shall see him. There will the word now be active. See, they were taking a word that had died, and they were going to take that word that had already sank with their sorrows, and they were going to rub around their sorrows, stir up their sorrows, see? Because they were not going there. They did not have an expectation of Jesus, okay, it being alive. When Mary went by herself and the angel was there, she said she thought that the angel was a gardener. She said, tell me where you took him. The gardener could not have taken him because Jesus had to be raised from the dead. You understand? He couldn't have been transported to another place. He had to physically get up and move. Your promise from God has to stand up and move. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. I mean, if you don't see that happening, then it's just an unfruitful exercise. See? That's all it is. You're talking loud and saying nothing. You're going to put oil on a promise that doesn't have the life that God spoke, breathed into it. You have more confidence in what you're doing in the natural, in the flesh. Okay? I mean, you'll think things like, okay, I don't do this and I stop doing that. See, you're putting more confidence in your actions than you are in the word that he spoke to you. See? Let that word come alive on the inside of you. Let that word move you, glory to God. We let our flesh move us. We believe that if I do this, things will work. We're moved by our flesh. See? We're looking for a reward system. Faith is not a reward system, beloved. Faith is the exchange that's used in heaven. It's not a reward system. See? When you release faith, heaven releases favor. When you release works, you get tired. That's all you get. So take the word of God and allow it to be alive on the inside so that that word moves you. Didn't it say that your word's supposed to be a light and a lamp to my path and to my feet? See? It has to be alive. It has to be the thing that causes me to move. See? The lamp is for my personal space. The light is for my public space. See? So when I continue to fellowship with the word in private, when I begin to pray over that word, seal it in my heart, now I see clearly how to walk, how to get things done. That's what he told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. For then you will observe to do. You'll see how to do it. The word that you meditate on, the word that you continually operate in your heart, that you walk around, sojourn in the land of promise. That word that you walk around with in your heart is the word you can expect for your life. If I'm not walking around with that word in my heart, if I'm not moving and allowing that word to take me to glory to God, to allow that word to take me deeper into the revelations of the word, the revelations of Jesus, who is the word. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon revelation. And the gates of hell will not stop the revelation. And when that revelation is active, you will bind whatever you want to bind. You will loose whatever you need to loose. Because what's loosed in heaven, what you connect with, where the kingdom of God is living inside of you. He said, when you connect that, then when you speak, you'll have whatsoever you say. We need to practice it more and more. Stop allowing seeds of doubt, worry to invade the harvest field that God has given you. Glory to God, because he's given to every man the measure of faith. That's your harvest field. Okay? You keep watering that. You keep tilling around that, cultivating that, to the point where that which you see on the inside moves you to the place where you can enjoy it in your life. Okay? That's not what Mary and the gang were doing. They were just going through the exercise of making themselves feel better. Okay? And we start where we start, but we're going to have to grow up. Jesus said things that that we're, he said we're going to do greater works than he did. Greater. See? Because we will have spent time in the Word and move stuff out of the place that we've allowed him to set up our kingdoms. We dismantle those kingdoms. See? We dismantle the thing that causes us to think that this is the end or the best it's going to get. The Bible tells us that the half hasn't even been told. My God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of me. See, if it's not working on the inside, then God doesn't have anything. He has that same mustard seed to work with. Instead of you allowing it to be expanded in your heart. When you allow the Word of God to grow, it causes your imagination to become more heightened. You remember in Genesis chapter 11 when they were building the Tower of Babel? And that Tower of Babel would have reached heaven. God came down and he saw their work. And he said this, the people is one. Therefore, nothing that they can imagine will be restrained from them. God said that. God said, because of unity, they'll be here in the moment. They're going to build this thing to heaven. So God then said, we will confuse the language that was connected to this thing that they thought to do. Because if they continue in this unity, they'll be here. So then when the language was confused, it says, and the people that was doing the work, they left off building the tower because they could not communicate any further. That's the thing that the devil's been using, trying to stop the communication flow between us and heaven. By causing doubt, frustration, see, it clouds or crowds out the word that will bring results in your life. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, they choke the word and it becomes unprofitable. We give up on it. We let it slip. Well, God didn't mean that. He didn't want me to have that. I haven't suffered enough to get that reward from God. Beloved, you can't ever suffer enough to get the reward from God. He is the original giver. And while you were yet in your sins, he died for you. We just have to straighten out our thinking. Allow the Holy Ghost just washing our hearts with the water of the word, being in place in the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, that all we see is a yes. Amen. One of my jobs as a minister is to show you the heart of the yes. And I know sometimes that there have been people that have reminded you of how ugly you was and how you don't deserve it. No, the minister's job was to reveal the heart of the yes. Because all of the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. So then if we don't understand the yes and the amen, it won't be revealed by us, will it? Okay. The devil lies to us. so many ways. He lies to us about our position in Christ. Because do you not remember that if you are in him, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. He didn't say some things. Said all things. See, are you allowing the resurrection of Jesus to do what's necessary in your life because you understand all things are new? I mean, when you get that and you understand that, then you get to enjoy that. See? If you don't apply pressure there, you won't walk. And what I mean when I say apply pressure is that you would allow that to be the wall that God surrounds you with. You keep out all of the other stuff by allowing the Word of God to be that strong tower that you run into. Okay, I'm not talking about trying to pressure God into doing it. He wanted to do it from Jump Street. He's the one that started this idea. It was not your idea. It was his idea. Salvation is of the Lord. See? What he wants you to do is to then protect yourself with the word. See? Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he doesn't have nothing in me. So that he can't get no deposit that he can then use to mess up my life. Meditate therein day and night. Then you will see, observe how to do what's written therein. Immediately after he says that, he says, be not afraid. Right? I know what's going to come at you. Fear is going to come at you. The fear of I don't deserve. You never deserve, beloved. You don't have to deserve. All right, let's do it this way. When you all got the key to your apartment or to your house, did you get that key with the thought, I don't deserve to go into this house? Or did you use the key only when you thought you deserved to go in that house? See, Jesus has given you the keys to the kingdom, the whole shebang. And he says, now, you use the key. And when you use the key, anything that you see that's not supposed to be there, you can cause it to go. And we use that principle on our own selves. We thought that we were strangers to the covenant of promise. When we are no longer strangers, see? We are invited into the yes and to the amen, the so be it. See? If I'm going to use the key to keep things out, it's not going to be me, beloved. That's my place. Jesus said, you believe in me, believe in God also. Because the things I'm telling you what the Father wants for you. I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, you may be also. Excuse me. Let's make sure we understood that. He said that where I am, not where I will be, not where I'm going. Where I am, there may you be. Also, so where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. So then my key works everything that's in heaven because I've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'll even go further. That's kind of good. I no longer even need the key. Glory to God in that aspect. I don't have to try to unlock a door. I've been made to sit together in heavenly places with him. There is nothing then that I am without. See? Everything, let's do it this way. I'm a joint heir with him. So that everything he has, I have. And as I walk correctly, he will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. So you don't have to be thinking that you are a pauper or a beggar as it relates to heaven. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, it pleased the Father to give us the whole kingdom. Wow. The whole nine yards, withholding nothing. Okay? I want to know him in the power of the resurrection. I need to hear echoes of yes in my spirit. Because whatever I can think, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. But it's according to the power that's alive, that's active on the inside of me. See, if I still got a reward thought process that if I do the right thing, I'll get something good. Okay? That's not the way he wants you to think, beloved. And I'm here to invite you into the heart of the yes. Because when you do it this way, here's what Paul said. Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say, walk outside of your covenant promises, and then maybe you can get a little grace drop. Okay? He says, if you walk in the spirit, if you activate spiritual muscles, utilize spiritual muscles, sojourn in the land of promise, if you will do that, there won't be, okay, you can say it so many ways. He said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or you won't even think about walking in doubt. You won't think about walking in fear. You will forget about that reward system, and you will just walk in the land of grace and promise, because Jesus came, and he was full of grace and truth. So I walk with him. I sojourn with him. I take his yoke upon me, and I learn of him. And I find rest unto my souls. See? This is what the power of the resurrection invites you into, made available for you. And if you would simply walk uprightly, all you're going to hear is a yes. I would like to have that yes just reverberate in my spirit over and over and over again. That all I hear, all I see, all I understand is a yes. So then as I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that yes is continually to cause me to walk forward. See, I'm not just going to do what they did, unfruitful exercises and unbelief, letting the promise sink with my sorrow, sink with my frustration. See? I'm going to remember what he said. Holy Ghost, bring to my remembrance what Jesus said. Holy Ghost is not going to, the Holy Ghost's job description is to bring to your remembrance what Jesus did. He's not supposed to bring to your remembrance what Pastor Doubt spewed out of his mouth because nobody had walked into it in his lifetime. Just because no one has walked in the promise fully does not mean I was not invited fully. Jesus said, that where I am, there will you be also. That doesn't sound like a, no, you don't deserve it. No, you can't go in here now. Please know and understand, a delay is not a no. A delay simply means that you're going to have to dig a little deeper to understand what God promised you, not what God is holding back. If you would look at it correctly, he is wanting to fulfill every promise. He's not looking to keep you in the place of lack. Otherwise, Jesus could not have said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. Right? He didn't say with more difficulty. He said, you will have the life more abundantly. The faithful word was already established. It was already sent. I need to make that word now active in my heart, active in my thoughts. I have to take myself away from dismissing a promise because it just seemed hard, or I didn't see anybody else walk in that. Okay? He wants you. He's expecting you to be a witness unto others. Show them all of the things that God has invited them into also. See? I mean, some of this, it takes a lot of time in the Word to erase all of those religious thought processes that keep you from the promise of God. I mean, really, Jesus bought and paid for it with his blood. Then he said, receive the Holy Ghost so that he can teach you all things, show you things that should come to pass, bring to your remembrance what I said, lead you into the truth. Leading you into the truth means that you heard it and wanted it, but you didn't know yet how it operates. So he's going to lead you into the way it operates. He's going to make it easy for you. See? God is not punitive concerning us. Is Jehovah Jireh the Lord that provides, not the Lord that keeps away? A person that is a witness and has received grace speaks about the grace that he receives over and over and over. It was so impactful in the Apostle Paul's life that he began to write two-thirds of the New Testament, explaining, showing, denoting all of the grace that we are to partake of. He would start things off like grace unto from the Father and from Jesus. Abundant grace. If you could live off of the grace that was from the Father, he's going to also give you grace by Jesus. I got a double portion of grace in my life. The definition for grace is when I get what I don't deserve. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. I did the wrong. I deserve the punishment. But he gave me mercy. I don't get what I deserve. Grace is when I get what I don't deserve. See? So then when I begin to rinse my thinking from that perspective, then I don't have a no in my heart. I don't have a no in my spirit. I have a yes in my spirit. And that yes moves me forward. And when I enjoy that yes, then I'm going to invite other people into the same yes. Go make disciples of all men. Or teach all men how to pursue the yes. Get them disciplined by that. That's what disciples mean. It means disciplined by. I'm disciplined by the yes. Okay? I don't have to live my life disciplined by the no. That's not pleasing to God because I'm not pursuing the yes by faith now. He gave me faith to pursue the yes. Maybe you should write that down. It's a good one. He gave me faith to pursue the yes of God in every area because the yes of God covers every aspect and area of my life. So he gave me faith to pursue the yes of God. Okay? That I look at a situation and I'm not seeing the flow. I don't just expect that that block is going to remain. Because when the enemy came in, like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to raise up a standard against him. So the devil is going to be flooded by the yes that God is opening to my heart. Come on, y'all. God is interested in moving you by the yes of his Spirit. That's what happened when Jesus was born. You see it on the Christmas card. It says, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's the yes. Jesus came to reveal the yes of the Father to us. Can I have that? Yes, goodwill towards men. God's not mad at you. God's not withholding things and punishing you because of that which you have, you don't have. Why would the God Jehovah Jireh want you to live in lack when his name means I'm a provider? See? I mean, these things have been ingrained in our thinking. And I'm asking you to allow the Holy Ghost to rinse that away. That the first thing that the Father is going to say to you is yes. All of the promises are yes. Okay? Just like when Peter wanted to walk on the water. And he asked Jesus a question that was staged in such a way that nothing else could happen but yes. He asked Jesus, if it's you, let me come. Well, since he was talking to Jesus, there is no possibility of a no to happen because Jesus came to reveal to us the yes of God. And so Jesus said, it is me, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Why? Because the yes was already extended. And then the devil said, well, let me stop this. And then he began to look at the waves. He began to look at the position of what he was doing, walking on water. He began to look at the wind, and he said, wait a minute. I ain't got no business walking on the water. Peter, you were not walking on the water. You were walking on the come. That's what Jesus said. The yes will cause you to win. Move by the yes of God. Okay? Once we understand that, then that takes care of all of the troubles because all I need to do is to focus on the yes of God. On the permission granted of God. Just something to think about. You remember twice the Bible says this different ways. It says that suffer the little children to do what? To come unto me. But such is the kingdom of heaven. Wait a minute. The little children don't know nothing, do they? And he said, the kingdom of heaven is surrounded by people that don't know nothing. So suffer them to come. Allow them to come. The yes has been spoken. And the little child shall lead them. Because a little child that has been raised in the yes of God don't even think about, I can't do it. My daughter, when she was about 3, I was purposely teaching her the yes that came from me. I would teach her that in a bunch of ways. But one way particularly, I would tell her to get up on top of things, and she would jump into my arms. And so, she got that, and she got it real good. She understood that. And so she would, like loving to play as a child does, the yes makes you want to keep on. And so she would get higher and higher in the room. I don't know yet how she got on top of the chest of drawers, but she was on top of the chest of drawers. And so what I did to help me get ready for her accepting the yes is I told her to say the word Geronimo before she jumped. It was Geronimo, jump. That was it. There was no two ways about it. Geronimo, she's getting ready to move. And one day, she was on that top of the chest of drawers, and I heard the word Geronimo. Now, I was turned around backwards doing something else. But I knew and understood that because she was pursuing the yes that I taught her, she was jumping. So then what I did, and I said, well, I got to turn around and catch this girl because there ain't no two ways about it. She's going to move. She doesn't experience a no from me. Yes was what it was. And so I turned around, and then I caught her. And then I said, okay, wait a minute. Let me help her. I said, Nia. You cannot say Geronimo if I'm not looking. You are going to have to say Geronimo to my face so that I would be ready for whatever comes next. I didn't have to tell her that but once. But the yes that I trained her in was evident in her life because she would just go, boom, Geronimo, I'm gone. That's the same way it is with God. He knows that the yes that he has given you is going to cause you to move. It's going to cause you to advance toward him. He's not upset by that. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. But you're going to have to allow a faithful word to become an active word in your life. Because when an active word is released, it will then be a confirmed word. You'll get to enjoy the yes of the Father, the yes that he put in his word for you and everything that is around you. Yes and amen. Your way or God's way? God is waiting on you today. Father, we thank you and bless you for the revelation by your Spirit to cause us to want to enter into the promised land, that we will not just sit on the outside and say how good things look, but we will move with you by your Spirit, by the power of the yes that was granted us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we can come into your presence where there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Father, that we're not going to use a yes for any lust or making demands on you that did not come from your word by your Spirit. Thank you that you will settle us in the yes of God, that causes all things to then work together for our good. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together. Amen. Glory to God. Well, as we do here on livedeliverance.com, I said if you have any questions or comments about the ministry, you can ask those questions. So area code 804-944-1486. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? Go ahead.
You know, I just called in. I guess I caught the tail end of the broadcast, which I will have to go back and listen to the replay.
Okay, well, it's there for you. About 10 minutes after we get through, it'll be there. So, yes, you can do that. Area code 770-843-1578. Any questions or comments about the ministry? Go ahead.
Just very good and very helpful. I don't have any questions this week. Thank you.
Amen. As like I said, that's what we're here for, to just – we think in heaven is a long distance away from us. So then he would give us steps that would help us to do two things, get us above the evil that's in the world, and secondly, bring the heaven experience down to the earth. Did not Jesus pray that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the faith that I believe God to release is the faith that simply allows you to take steps away from where we've been before when it was always no, no, no. Take steps in the arena of yes and then learn to live in the affirmative of God. Area code 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Any questions or concerns about the ministry today?
Go yes, I enjoyed the part of God's yes. I never thought of it like that because he desired to give us the kingdom and you just made it plain. I appreciate that.
Yes, amen. I mean, it's real. It's really real. He says it over and over and over. But unfortunately, because of the way we've been trained to think, that we think that, no, it couldn't be for me. Yes, it's for you. The blood, as soon as it hit the ground, oh, Lord, thank you. The drop of blood, the first drop of blood that hit the ground from the body of Jesus restored everything. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the earth was cursed from what Adam did. Jesus redeemed man and the earth. So now the earth can produce for us everything God intended for us to have. We will enjoy the yes of God. Mm-mm-mm. Wow. I mean, I just hope that y'all can see that. Because it's more than just, you know, cute things that are Easter story or cute things that are a Christmas story. No, the words that he speaks, they are spirit and they are life. He wants us to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a faithful word. That's an active word. That's a confirmed word. Well, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, or if it's challenged you to grow in any way, then please allow God to reveal to you how you can be a blessing to this ministry through the giving of tithes, gifts, and offerings. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and look for and find the donate tab. And then go ahead and sow the seed that God is revealing to you to sow. Because as I say, if you've received of the spiritual things, then we should also receive of your natural things, because that's how we are kept on the air, by the free will offerings of those that listen and hear, from those who are cyber members to livedeliverance.com. We just want us to grow together so that we can then enjoy everything that God has for us. When we do that, here's the other side, because we're supposed to be witnesses of the goodness of God. And when people see that, then that will cause them to see how to repent, turn from a life that is frustrated to a life that is blossoming with the goodness of God. Then everybody that we teach and train in that will then teach and train others. Then we'll be able to see the fruitfulness that God intended when he said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, replenish. See, that's our job. That's our calling. And when we find the yes of God and move by the yes, we can then be fruitful. Amen. Amen. So, again, just go to the donate tab and sow your seed there. We'd like to thank you for seeking the Lord and partnering with us as we take the gospel to the world. And we will remind you that you can invite your friends, family members, coworkers to join us so they can listen and participate on the broadcast every Monday night from 9 to about 10:30 as we all grow in faith and fellowship in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his shalom. Love y'all. Be blessed.